Please be seated. There will be many of you who will be relieved to know that I am not preaching on the reading from Galatians. Look back over it. Whether I turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station will be held by anybody else, these pages must show. Those are the opening lines from Charles Dickens' novel, David Copperfield. Those lines are read to a group of orphans as they snuggle into their beds in an orphanage dormitory in the movie from several years back, Cider House Rules. That movie takes place in Maine in the 1930s and 40s, and as the orphans prepare to go to sleep, Dr. Larch, who is the director of the orphanage, reads to them. Sometimes a young man named Homer, an orphan himself, does the reading, and Dr. Larch has trained Homer to be a physician without, of course, any formal education. Homer is very much like a son to the older physician, and when he reads to the orphans, he wants to share a message with them, a message of hope and encouragement, and what better to use than Dickens? Whether I shall be the hero of my own life, these pages must show. It's really an intriguing concept, isn't it, to be the hero of one's own life. What does that mean to you? Well, for me, I don't think it's intended as being something narcissistic or egocentric. Instead, for me, I think it means to live life as fully as you can, to be a player, a participant, to use everything we have to be all that we can be, to live without regret, and to leave nothing on the table. That's what I think it means. To be the hero of our own life seems like a pretty good goal to have in that respect, but also it seems like a pretty daunting goal to have. But that's what the movie is about. And for me, I think it's a big part of what our gospel lesson is about as well. Be useful, Dr. Larch tells Homer. Homer is heir apparent who has trained all his life to be the next director of the orphanage, but that's not Homer's dream. So instead, Homer leaves, seeking usefulness, his own usefulness. He doesn't practice the medicine that he knows, doesn't take care of the orphans who need him, but decides instead to seek his destiny and his happiness as an apple picker. And the movie's about that too. About the search for a meaningful life, the waiting to know what one should do when we're faced with that moment of truth, and the decision to go for it or not. In Dr. Larch's simple terms, the searching for and finding of something useful to do, or in Dickens' grander terms, to be the hero of one's own life. And for me, that too is what I think our gospel lesson is about today. That search for meaning, the search for a meaningful life. In our gospel lesson, three men approach Jesus and they want to be his followers. An admirable goal. And perhaps wanting, if you will, to be the heroes of their own lives, to seize the opportunity and to follow this man Jesus, whose work and teachings are unlike anything they've known before. But in the gospel lesson, it appears that they fail this test, doesn't it? And it's easier for us to kind of look down on them a little bit, isn't it? To criticize them or to see them as failures because despite their good intentions, life gets in the way. Or maybe it's just their own excuses. And you've heard all the sermons before about how hard it is to be a follower of Christ and the sacrifice that it entails, and that these three men with such good intentions just don't have enough trust or commitment to do what real discipleship requires of them. And it's a true point of the gospel, but it is by no means the only point. Because if any of us think we would have responded any differently to Jesus, then we're kidding ourselves. Jesus said, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, but only if it's convenient. Let me bury my father first. Let me say goodbye first. Yes, I will follow you, but." And if you were listening closely to the gospel, I know you felt it. Jesus seems a little harsh, a little short-tempered, frankly, a little unreasonable. After all, these folks want to follow him. They just need to take care of a few things first before they turn their lives upside down and inside out. And the first man says, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But this guy, like everyone else in first century Palestine, probably doesn't have a notion of a Messiah that includes suffering and rejection and crucifixion. And Jesus just wants this guy to know what he's in for. He responds, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I think Jesus is telling this would-be volunteer that they're not going to be staying in the best hotels along the way. But I also think he's making a much deeper point, that everyone seems to have a home in Israel, except the one who truly is Israel. So following him will not be easy. The second guy doesn't volunteer. Jesus approaches him. Jesus asks him to follow. The man is willing, but he simply says, let me go bury my father first. Now, you and I have heard this story all of our lives, and we can envision this poor man's dead father, and all he wants to do is go home and give him a proper burial. But Jesus says no, coming off as awfully petty and frankly unreasonable. But consider the possibility that there might be more here. Because think about it. If the man's father had just died, he wouldn't be hobnobbing with a preacher on the side of the road. In the Jewish tradition, he'd be sitting Shiva, the Jewish custom of sitting in mourning. It's just as likely that this expression, to bury my father, could have referred to one's sacred duty of remaining home until one's parents were gone. It could have meant years. It could have meant decades. So Jesus' answer really might not have been that unreasonable, but rather a matter of priority and timing. And the third man, he simply wants to go home and say goodbye. And in the first century, a person leaving was always expected to ask permission. And between a son and his parents, this was about honor and duty. Folks, we're wrong if we want to look down upon these potential followers, if we want to merely criticize them because they didn't have what it took to be a disciple. They were searching for meaning in their lives, be the heroes of their own lives. They wanted to be useful, and in the moment of truth, simply wanted to do the honorable thing. They were seekers, searching in a very real way for many of the same things that you and I search for every single day. Searching for some sense that God notices us, knows us, and knows what we need. Some sense that our life really does have meaning because God does notice us and that we are not alone in whatever we need. A search that for all of us comes from wanting to be useful, to be the hero of our own lives. Be useful, Dr. Larch tells Homer in the movie. And every night he reads to the orphans, all wanting desperately to be adopted, which means to be loved and wanted by someone. And every night after he reads to them and the covers are pulled up and the lights turned out, he stands in the doorway and says, good night, you princes of Maine. Good night, you kings of New England. And the orphans smile and they fall fast asleep. Isn't that what we all search for? A sense that we matter? That there is meaning to our lives and that we are loved. And because of that, we search for a way to be useful, a way to get up, to serve, to make a difference, a way to be the hero of our own lives. That's precisely what Jesus offered these disciples of old and each of us as disciples today, a chance to be that hero, to be adopted and loved and wanted. He's not being overly harsh with these recruits. He's just being honest, because real discipleship is hard. These men didn't measure up, but neither will we. It is only through the grace of God that any of us are ever fit for the kingdom of God. Whether I turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station is held by anybody else, these pages must show. They're the pages of our own lives, the search for our destiny and happiness, the longing for meaning and usefulness, and the moments of truth in our lives by which we decide which path to take. Sometimes we'll seize the opportunity, and other times we'll let other things get in the way. And if we don't see a part of ourselves in those who Jesus asked to follow, then we're just not paying attention. And if we choose to righteously condemn these three men because of their lack of commitment, then we miss a very important truth. Because Scripture never tells us what decision they made. The story doesn't tell us whether they actually went home or whether they chose from that moment on to follow the Messiah. In fact, in the very next verse of this text, Luke writes, "After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him." Did you catch that? 70 others, which for me implies that at least some of these men might in fact have seized the moment and followed the Christ. Yet their decision makes little difference to you and me. What matters is that this and every moment of truth, whether you and I choose to be the heroes of our own lives or whether, sadly, that station is held by another. God love you. Amen.